The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, if you'd please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 2. Matthew, chapter number 2, if you're using a pew Bible. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. I'm sure most of you know that, but maybe somebody does not. And the second chapter. Last week I read to you out of the Gospel of Luke. We talked about the shepherds and the angels and bringing glory to God. Today I want to read to you the account out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2. It's the wise men coming to Jerusalem to see the Christ child. Or to Bethlehem, I should say. They came to Jerusalem and then went to Bethlehem. You'll see that as we read through this. And, in all likelihood, they're coming sometime after the birth of Christ. I think most of us know that. I'm not going to belabor that point. But it is part of the account of the birth of our Savior. So I want you to see some things this morning. The title of the message is, It's More Blessed to Give. And we want to take a look at the wise men and see the giving attitude that they have. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But let's read the Scriptures, chapter number 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to gather here today in this place and to worship you in song and to just read the Scriptures and to be able to come and for these next several minutes block out the cares of our lives and just focus upon you, upon the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, Lord, as the message is preached, the message that you laid upon my heart, that you would take it now and lay it upon each of our hearts, that these truths would become real and evident in our lives. And Lord, I ask and pray that perhaps there's someone in this auditorium this morning that has never come to know Christ in a very real and personal way, a powerful way. That there is someone here who has not and is not born again. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring that conviction and that clarity of what it means to be saved and what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ. And by the time all is said and done, that individual would come to know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray for those of us that have already been enlightened with regards to these truths, that the message would truly draw us closer to you. and that we could truly reflect upon the wise men and the attitude that they had when they came to see the Christ child. Now bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, someone once said this, or it was suggested that with regards to the wise men, they were wise not because they knew all of the answers, but they were wise because they knew the right questions to ask. Nobody knows all the answers. Amen? Nobody does. And some people think they know all of the answers. If you've ever been around someone that thinks they know all of the answers, that can kind of get irritating, can it? But no one knows all the answers. So life is more about not knowing all the answers, but asking the right questions. Now, these wise men certainly did have some of the answers to the questions that had been raised. They asked the question, as we read through the text. Look at verse 2. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So they knew who they were looking for. They were looking for the King of the Jews. It says, look at verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." They had traveled a long ways in order to see the Christ child, to see that him which who was called the King of the Jews. Undoubtedly, they had traveled from what would today be present-day Iran. And why did they come? It's pretty evident from the Scriptures that these men were students of the Scriptures. That the Word of God had been the Old Testament. They had read through the Old Testament. For when they saw the star in the east, it resonated with them. It just isn't that they woke up one day and saw a star in the east, and they thought, there's a star in the east. Let's just go follow the star in the east. But if you notice, I put on your handout for you, so just to save time, we wouldn't turn there. But for instance, back in the book of Isaiah, which was written some 600 years before the birth of Christ, before what we're reading today, Isaiah said this, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Or also Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17 that Moses wrote thousands of years before what we're reading here in Matthew chapter 2. The Scriptures say this, that "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And we could look at and turn to other Scriptures in the Old Testament as well. But these wise men, these magi, they were students of the Scriptures. And when these events began to take place, they were drawn to Jerusalem and then drawn to Bethlehem. They were drawn by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. And it's interesting when they arrive there in Jerusalem, there are really three groups or three characters with regards to the account that we're reading. And so notice now in verse 3, the Bible says, "When Herod the king had heard these things." So the wise men come to Jerusalem, and they come to Herod, and they approach Herod, and they ask him that question. "Well, we've come seeking the King of the Jews." Well, that was probably quite startling to Herod, because Herod was the authority in Jerusalem. And so, and I've preached a message on this before, I'm not going to preach it this morning, but Herod was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was a mix. He was Jew and Gentile. And in fact, in these three groups, you'll see Herod, who is both Jewish and a mix of Jewish and Gentile. You'll see the priests, who are Jewish, and then you have the wise men, who are Gentiles. And so those are the three groups of people who dwell upon the earth. Either you're Jewish, either you're a Gentile, or you're a mix between Jew and Gentile. But But more than that, Herod, and I've preached this before as well, Herod really represents those who oppose Jesus. Herod wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and of course, you know the account. He would eventually try to have all of the young children from 2 years old and younger put to death. He was troubled. He wanted the wise men to return to him because he wanted to know where the Christ child was, because he wanted to put Jesus to death. And in fact, it says in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled at all Jerusalem, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was threatened by Jesus. He was threatened by Jesus' identity. He would be threatened by his authority. He would be threatened by Jesus' sovereignty. He would be threatened, just as people today are. Some people, it's kind of hard for us to believe because we're here to worship Jesus, but there are people today who are threatened by Jesus. They don't want Jesus to rule and reign over them. So Herod is that type of person. But then in verses 4 through 6, you have the priests. They're the religious crowd. They're the crowd that just ignores Jesus. And you might say, well, wait a minute, they're religious. A lot of religious people ignore Jesus. They're all caught up in the religiosity, but they forget that Christianity is having a personal relationship with Christ. And so the wise men come. And Herod gathers the chief, verse 4, all the chief priests and all the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So Herod wants to know, well, where is Jesus supposed to be born? Where is the Messiah? Where is the Christ? Where is he supposed to be born? Well, I'll give them this benefit. In verse 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Well, how did they know that? Because the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Micah, again about 500 years before Jesus was born, described and told us where he would be born. He would be born in Bethlehem. And so, verse 6 is actually a quote from the Old Testament. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, it's kind of interesting, too, as the wise men go down to Bethlehem, and the star was shining above Bethlehem, and so I've always wondered why didn't the priests and why didn't more of the people from Jerusalem follow the wise men to Bethlehem? Because they were ignoring all of this. In fact, I might submit to you this morning that with regards to the Magi that have traveled from a far country, when they arrived in Jerusalem, I suppose there was quite a great stir. And when they came and the priest said, well, this is where he's supposed to be born, and the wise men left, quite possibly, maybe all of the priests and all of the religious crowd were kind of chuckling and laughing at the wise men as they left to travel just a short distance, just, I think it's about 10 to 14 miles to Bethlehem. But they never followed. They never went. And the wise man went. And so now we really get to the crux of the message this morning. Verses 9 down through 12. Because I want to zero in on the wise men. And I want to see this morning what they characterized and in their attitude should be characterized in our attitude as well. And so, they come seeking the Lord. They come seeking the Christ child. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, I told you that the title of the message is this: it's more blessed to give. In fact, Jesus said that. Jesus said, it is more blessed. Well, I have actually the scriptures for you. Paul quotes Jesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Look at it on your handout. Paul is really, these are his closing remarks to the church, his farewell to the church in Ephesus. And he says this to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed. Read it out loud with me, would you please? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, many of us have probably heard that most of our lives. Amen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the wise men came with the attitude of giving. Now, I know that November and even some of December, we've talked a lot about missions and a lot about giving and a lot about giving financially. Well, I'm not talking this morning about giving financially. I think we've nothing wrong with preaching on giving financially, amen? But I'm not preaching on that this morning. So, you know, he's going to preach a message on finance. No, I'm not. So kind of block that out of your mind this morning. I want you to see some other characteristics with regards to the wise men and what they gave and how important it is. They had traveled a long way. They had exhausted, I'm sure, a substantial amount of resources to get there. And as we read through this, what did they leave with? What did they take with them? And did they arrive in Bethlehem expecting to take anything with them? They hadn't come with that in mind. They had come not expecting to receive, but they had come expecting to give. And that's the attitude every believer should have. And with regards to whether it's the Christmas season or throughout the year, our attitude, especially so when we come to the Lord's house, is we come expecting to give and not necessarily expecting to receive. Although I submit to you this morning, whenever you come primarily with the idea of you come expecting to give, you will always receive. But if you flip that around and you come primarily expecting to receive, you will rarely give. See how that works? Because that's the attitude that the Magi had. They came expecting to give. So now let's go through this, and I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning. I've got these characteristics on the back of your handout, but I want you to see them as I read through this. So in verse 10, the Bible says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." They rejoiced. Listen, the Magi came. They came exuberant. They were excited. They were seeing the faith that they had placed in God's Word. They had seen it by faith. Now they were seeing it by sight. There was a great joy that they had when they gathered there to worship the Christ child. There was a great joy. They had come from a far country. Listen, if you're born again this morning, you have come from a far country. You've come from the country of sin. You've come from the country of transgressions. You've come from the country of rebellion against God, and now you've been adopted into the family of God. You've become a citizen of His kingdom. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so when we have that attitude, whether it's the Christmas season or whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night, or as we were taught in our adult Sunday school class today, or whether you wake up in the morning, you ought to wake up with an exuberance because you've come from the kingdom of darkness and now you're a part of the kingdom of light. You're a child of God. And the Magi came. I believe the Magi were saved people. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They were exuberant. They didn't just come to see a king. They came to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't have the same exuberance when they saw King Herod, I can tell you that. They came to see the King of Kings. And so you and I, we ought to have that exuberance and it ought to just be displayed in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always." We usually quote out of Deuteronomy, and it's also found in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Luke twice, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. In Luke's Gospel, with all thy strength, with all. You do that with an exuberance because you realize that you haven't necessarily followed a star, but the day star, 2 Peter chapter 2, I think it's verse 19, has arisen in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God dwells within you. And so there is an exuberance that the wise men had. There ought to be an exuberance that you and I have every day because of Christ and who He is. And so they came, and that's why the title of this message is More Blessed to Give Than It Is to Receive. The gift that we give back to the Lord is our exuberance, our rejoicing for who He is. But then I noticed this. Not only were they exuberant, but they came with an attitude of being subservient to the Lord. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and they fell down. Listen, they just didn't fall down and collapse on the floor like they were exhausted from the journey. They fell down on their knees. They were humbled to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't fall down again when they met King Herod. In fact, after they got done with King Herod, they probably figured out who Herod was. They wanted to get away from him. We don't really want anything to do with this guy. But when they came to Jesus, the little child, these were important men. These were dignified men. These were well-learned men. And there is the Christ child laying there. And there they fall down at His feet. And so you and I, as we think about it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, we should think of it this way. If you're born again this morning, you fell down at His feet one day and repented of your sin and of you being a sinner. You understood that you were a sinner. You understood you were born into this world as a sinner. You understood that you came, Jesus came into this world to save you from your sin. And the Spirit of God moved upon your heart and caused you to understand and to realize that and caused you to turn from like the religious crowd that was there. Some of us came out of the religious setting. We were like the priests. We went all of our lives. We went to church. We sat through the services. We might have even as children been part of this church and been involved in the different ceremonies of the church. But in reality, we just ignored Jesus. We found our purpose in the religion of the church and not in a relationship with Christ. Amen? Follow me? We were deceived. We were told that if we're religious enough, or if we work hard enough, and if we're good enough, and we do this religious act, and we do this religious act, and we do this religious act, we were deceived into thinking that if we do enough of those religious things, that in the eyes of God, the scales will weigh down on our side, and God will say, your sins are forgiven. For many of us, we went through all of that, all of our lives, hoping, oh, I hope I've done enough religious things in order for God to forgive me of my sin. And then all of a sudden, that day star rose in our heart, and we realized that it's not by works, but it's by grace. That's a free gift that Christ gives us. It's something that we can't earn. It's something we can't work for. It's something that we can't do on our own. And then we made that decision. And we bent a knee, and we got saved. We asked Christ to be our Savior just by faith in what Jesus did for us, nothing more and nothing less. So that's what I mean by they humbled themselves positionally. But then you and I give back to the Lord when we humble ourselves practically speaking. When we now understand why and what Christ has done for us, we now become subservient to Him. We become His servant. We humble ourselves, recognizing that He is the Lord and He is the sovereign of our life. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And we humble ourselves and say, Lord, whatever it is that You want for me, wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to do, now out of an act of adoration, out of an act of subservience, out of an act of thanksgiving, I just give You my life to do with it whatever You'd like. That was the attitude that the Magi gave to the Christ child. Paul would write later on that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And they became subservient to the Lord. They fell down. And then look what it says in verse 11. Not only did they fall down, they came exuberant, they came subservient, they came and they worshiped Him. They were reverent. Because they came to adore Him. You know the word worship in the Greek, it actually, sometimes that word is used when a dog comes and licks his master's hand out of affection. So when you and I come and we come to worship the Lord, we come as that dog comes to its master. You and I come as believers, as saved believers, to worship the King. The King. The Lord. To worship Him. To worship Him, as I often pray on Sunday morning, to worship Him not only in spirit, but to worship Him in what? In truth. Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. You know, this is probably a personal thing for me, but it really bothers me today that in so many of our Christian circles, in so many of the gatherings, we seem to be taking the reverence and the worship out of our assembling before the Lord. We're trying to make it as common as we can. And the thinking is, and maybe you agree with it, I really don't. The thinking, let's make it as common as we can to attract people. Well, there is nothing common about my Savior. Nothing common about Him. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. He is my salvation. He is my rock that I stand upon. And so they came and they fell down and they worshiped Him. By the way, can I give you this too, just as a side note? There's no place here where it says they fell down and worshiped Mary. No place here. Because Mary is not meant to be worshiped according to the Scriptures. Only the King is to be worshipped. Only the Savior is to be worshipped. And the saints, quote unquote, aren't to be worshipped either. In fact, let me just read this to you this morning out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11. These are the words of the Savior. Listen to what He said. The Bible says, and it came to pass as He spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto Him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Of course, that's a reference to Mary. But He, Jesus, said this, Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. I don't have a lot of time to get into this either, but in Luke's gospel, and let's not take away from the fact that Mary was and is a very special person and was used of God in a very special way. But as you read through Luke's account, it's Mary herself in praise and adoration of what God is going to do who says and speaks of God, her Savior. The only person who needs a Savior is a person who is a sinner. And so the unbiblical doctrine that Mary is without sin is contrary to the Scriptures. And to give anyone other than Jesus praise and adoration is to blaspheme God. They reverenced him. But then it says this. And so they came exuberant. We can give back to the Lord with our exuberance. We can give back to the Lord as we serve him. We can give back to the Lord when we reverence him and worship. We can give back to the Lord because it says not only that they worship him, the Bible says they opened their treasures. They were benevolent. They came wanting to give something to him, to do good unto the Lord. Matthew says, so let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. For what purpose? To glorify your Father which is in heaven. I really have to commend you, church, this couple that lost their home. And many of you have called or brought things in. In fact, a lot of it's already gone. They've come and picked it up. And they can't really take anything else now until they get a place of their own because they're staying with their mother. And she doesn't have any room to put anything. But many we've had furniture that's been offered, and we've had dishes and clothing, and towels and washcloths and other things. So you've given something, and I've forgotten what all of them were. And the couple's very thankful they came and picked it up. But we don't do it to get glory for ourselves and how wonderful we are, and to pat ourselves on the back. We do it to bring glory to God because we're believers, amen? To glorify Him. Because we're taught in the Scriptures that Jesus says, if you give a cup of water unto one of these, you've given it unto me. Or the Scriptures say, if you've given someone who's hungry something to eat, then you've given it unto me. We do it to glorify Him. And so we come, and when we have an attitude like that, and who can we help? And how can we help? And what can we do? And who can... That's the attitude of the Magi. And that's how we give back to the Lord. And it's not only been something like this, but throughout the years I've had people come and say, people have come and they want to do this anonymously. They give me I've had people come and give me cards to Big Y and to... Price Chopper, and Pastor, maybe somebody could use this. Could you give it to them? And I pass those on. And it's just, that's what we do. That's the attitude of a Christian. That's the attitude of a believer. That's giving back to the Lord. Or even on a Wednesday night, we come and we pray for one another and lift one another up in prayer. That's just giving back to the Lord. We bend a knee. We're benevolent. We're supposed to be benevolent people. And realistically, when you see, and I think it still continues in our country, but we as a nation are the most benevolent nation in the world. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just because we're Americans? No, it's because ingrained still within our culture is the Judeo-Christian principles of the Bible. And so we let our light shine before men. But I notice this too. Often, when we look at verse 11 here, they opened their treasure and they presented unto them these gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there's been all kinds of messages that have been preached on what it meant to give gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I've preached a few of those messages as well. And the symbolism here, the gold speaking of the royalty of Christ, and He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and the frankincense, the incense, it's often been symbolic of our prayers to God, and the myrrh, which was used in embalming, speaking perhaps of the humanity of Christ, and that one day He would die for the sins of the world. But it was suggested, I was reading this week, and a man I like to read quite a bit, he's an old, from the 1600s, Matthew Henry, who usually goes into some really deep expository explanation of these things. He said this, did we ever just think, and it's true that maybe these things represent all of this, but did we realize or do we remember that shortly after this, the Magi were warned not to go back to Herod, right? And then Joseph was warned to flee to Egypt. Well, how did he finance his trip to Egypt? The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. You see, God uses people to accomplish God's purpose. And so the value, all of that was of value. All of that could be used to move the Christ child from Bethlehem to Egypt. They were benevolent. They came, they gave. And you and I, when we're benevolent to the Lord, to missions, to one another, we're just letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works and they bring glory to God in heaven. And then they were attendant to the Lord. They presented, the Bible says in verse 11, they presented unto Him gifts. They presented unto Him gifts. Our focus is always on Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, well, what did He do? He endured the cross for you and I. And so life is to be about being attentive, or attendant, I should say, unto the Lord, serving Him. John says, Jesus says, if any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be. If any man serve Me, him will My Father honor. So do we understand that? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So when we come with an attitude of exuberance or rejoicing, we're giving to the Lord. When we come with an attitude of subservience, falling down at His feet saying, Lord, what will You have me to do? We come with an attitude of giving. When we come with an attitude of worship and we reverence the Lord for who He is and give Him His just deserve, we're giving back to the Lord what He deserves. When we're benevolent to the Lord's work, when we're benevolent to the Lord's people, when we're benevolent to those who are around us, we're really just giving back to the Lord. And then when we're attendant to the things of God, when we're focused on the things of Christ and who Christ is, we're giving back to the Lord. And then our compliance. Just doing what the Lord asks us to do. Verse 12 says, they were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They were compliant to that, to being warned. Isaiah said that ye shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Are we listening to the still small voice of God in our ear? I want you to walk this way. I want you to walk this way. I want you to do this. I want you to be this. I want you to go here. I want you to act like this. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to start doing this. And when we're listening and when we're sensitive, when we are, whether it's a warning here with regards to what they were warned about or whether it's the Lord encouraging us, when we respond to that, we're really just giving back to the Lord. John would say, I find no greater joy than when Jesus said, when My children walk in truth. And so lastly then, the Magi, they were obedient. They gave back to the Lord by just being obedient to the Lord. And so in verse number 12, not being warned of God, they were compliant to the warning. They departed, the Bible says, the end of that verse, into their own country. They were obedient. They went a different way. God said, no, don't return to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. I want you to do something else. I want you to go a different way. And so that's for you and I. Sometimes, especially a young person, you have your whole life you think it all, well, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I want to do, and this is who I want to marry, or this is who I want to don't marry, and this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be. Wait a minute. What does God want you to do? Who does God want you to be? Where does God want you to go? Is God speaking to your heart? And when he is, and we respond, we're just giving back to the Lord. We're just giving to him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And part of that love is just being obedient unto the Lord. And so the Magi were. They came. They came. So often I hear people say, you know, I just don't see the Lord doing anything for me. Well, the question is, what's the Lord doing for you? The question is, what are you doing for the Lord? See, the Magi understood that. It's always, do you know the right question to ask? What are you doing for the Lord? Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's how that works. But so often we're waiting for the Lord, and he's waiting on us. And so at the end of verse 12, they departed into their own country. What are those last two words? Will you read that out loud, those last two words in verse 12? They departed into their own country how? Another way. Whenever you come to Jesus expecting to give and not to receive, you'll always leave another way. You'll leave different. You'll leave changed. You'll leave closer to him. Now here they're talking about physically leaving another way, aren't they? They didn't go back the same way that they came. And so it's kind of a play on words that I'm using. They left different. And they didn't leave. They didn't only leave physically different. They left spiritually different. I mean, you cannot be in the presence of Jesus Christ and not leave different from the way you've arrived. Amen? And so I guarantee you, when they traveled back to their own country, they had a lot to say when they traveled back to their own country. And so it should be with you and I. We have a lot to say. A lot of good news. Jesus is about good news. The gospel is good news to a lost and dying world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, it's really interesting when we finish here, but they had come to Christ, did the Magi. Christ had not performed any miracles in their lives to draw them to him. He had not done anything for them. He was but a helpless babe. And yet they fell down and they worshiped him. They didn't worship him as one who must win his honors, but they worshiped him understanding that he had come to invest his life in this world for them. And if you're here this morning, that's why Christ has come. He came for you, whoever you are. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. There is not a church, there is not a denomination, there is not a religious act, a religious deed or creed that you can adhere to that will save you. But by faith, you must trust that the baby that was born in a cradle came destined to go to a cross. And while he hung on that cross, your sin and my sin were placed upon him. And that he and he alone could pay for your sin, pay the penalty of your sin. And he was buried, and the Bible says 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over your sin and over my sin. And only by faith in Christ, nothing else, by admitting to him in your heart, Lord, I am a sinner. I am unclean. I am unrighteous.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.